welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, bringing you programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, in this hour, Westerns. Later on, it's Gunsmoke from 1956. But first, an episode of Hawk Larrabee, a CBS radio broadcast from May 17th, 1947.
Come along, folks, and listen to the tale of Hawk Larrabee on the Western Trail. Komatai, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yi, Komatai, yippee-yippee-yi.
Larrabee's the name, Hawk Larrabee.
He rode every trail across the Lone Prairie, as sure as his name's Hawk Larrabee. Komatai, yippee-yippee-yi, yippee-yi, Komatai, yippee-yippee-yi.
Yes, it's Hawk Larrabee, starring Barton Yarborough with his exciting stories of the timeless West. Stories of men and women, famous and infamous, who loved and hated, lived and died in the colorful drama of the American West. Stories chronicled for you by Hawk Larrabee.
Yep, I'm Hawk Larrabee. A lot of folks claim that I was a fiddlefoot, that I couldn't stay put in one place. And it wasn't long before I started to believe in them myself because I left my old stamping grounds at Sundown Wells and hit the trail. First stop, the gold camp at Mulberry Creek. There wasn't no mulberries that I could see, and the only creek was a ditch of dirty water, full of miners, working rock or a pan, trying to get a trace of that yellow stuff called gold. The new part of town was made of tar paper shanties and tents. But there were some pretty fair buildings along the main street, and one of these was the Collins Mercantile, a typical Western general store. I went inside to buy me a can of saddle soap, and there was the prettiest gal I ever set my eyes on behind the counter. And I seen something else. A big, red-faced hombre waving his finger right under her nose and talking loud and mad.
Mary, the Collins, I'm only trying to help you. Can't you see that?
No! You want them to hang Lucius, and you want to run me out of business.
That boy of yours is guilty, and he ought to swing. Well, I'm making an offer for this store, my final offer.
Get out, I said. Morgan Bryce,
Bryce, the lady asked you to leave.
Where'd you come from?
Well, never mind that.
Oh, please, stranger, don't cause any more trouble.
The name is Hawk Larrabee, ma'am. Looks to me like Bryce here's the one that's stirring up trouble, not me.
What's your cut in this deal, Larrabee?
Well, sir, I'm just a fella from Texas that don't like seeing a darn saddle bum yelling at a pretty girl.
Saddle bum? You call me a saddle bum? Well, I've got the biggest store in this town.
You mean the one in the big tent down the street? So you're the fella that's giving stuff away, hmm? Is that how come ain't no customers here in Miss Verity's store?
Of course. How can I compete with his ridiculous prices? But that's not important.
Larrabee, I'm trying to make friends among the miners. Nothing else. Now, Mulberry Creek has a future. I intend being part of that future.
Well, there's one sure thing. You ain't making no friends from here.
I don't intend to.
Oh, please, please, both of you.
Verity, today's the trial. Now, I could put in a good word for Lucius, but I sure won't feel inclined to now.
But he isn't guilty.
No. Well, I'll tell you what I'm beginning to suspect, Miss Verity Collins.
What?
Maybe you and that Lucius Budlong was both in on killing your Uncle Fred.
Oh, that's a lie. How can you say that?
Fred Collins didn't want you marrying Lucius. Him and Lucius quarreled. So the pair of you figured to get him out of the way. Then you'd both have the store.
I don't want this store. Lucius doesn't want it. He's a lawyer, not a clerk.
Lawyer? What lawing did he ever do?
Well, he hasn't had a chance in this town, that's all.
Well, you had your chance. But now I'm going to see that everybody hears my opinion of this killing.
You wouldn't.
Or wouldn't I?
Bryce, you know something? I've been mighty darn patient with you. But now you're going out that door, walking or flying, just suit yourself.
Well, you can't talk like that. Maria!
Don't never make a mistake of pulling that Pee-wee 41 on me again. I'm toting a 45 like most everybody else, and it'll put a hole in you big enough for your head.
Why, you...
I'll just unload this pistol of yours. Yeah. Now I don't reckon you shoot me in the back. Get to moving, Bryce.
I'll see you later, Hawk Larrabee.
I'm afraid you've made a dangerous enemy.
Oh, don't pay no attention to him. Lots of folks don't like me. How long has he been in town, anyhow?
About a month. Right after the strike.
Sure does aim to take over this store.
Bryce tried to buy out my Uncle Fred.
He wouldn't sell, did he?
My Uncle Fred only cared for one thing in life. This store.
And he winds up dead.
Yes. Everybody in town thinks Lucius did it.
Well, if him and your uncle quarreled like Bryce said...
Lucius couldn't do such a thing. Uncle said some nasty things to him, yes, but even so, Lucius wouldn't wait till I was upstairs in my room, then knock on the door and shoot Uncle when he came to see who was there.
Oh, that's how it was, huh? Well, when did it happen?
Last week.
And the trial is today?
Yeah. And they'll hang him. I've been trying to help, but no one will listen to me.
Well, folks around here don't like your Lucius, huh?
No.
Well, why?
I don't know. Because he's different from them, I guess.
Because he's got his nose in a law book most of the time?
Yeah, that's partly it.
Well, I come in for a can of saddle soap.
Should have got it at Bryce's. He's selling it for a quarter. Our price is $3.
$3?
Well, since the gold strike, our freighting costs have gone up 10 times, and even then there is little profit.
No, I understand.
Here's your saddle soap, Mr. Larrabee.
It's Hawk to my friend.
All right, Hawk.
Well, adios, Miss Verdi.
Oh, goodbye.
Oh, by the way.
Yes?
Whereabouts they got Lucius pinned up at?
At the jail, 2 blocks down. You can't miss it.
I don't reckon I will.
Good luck. Oh, please have good luck.
That's what comes of being fiddle-footed. You're always bumping into trouble. But I guess I'm kind of soft when there's a gal as pretty as that Verity Collins around. It could be that her Lucius did murder Uncle Fred Collins, but it wouldn't hurt none to see the umbra anyhow. The jail office is closed, but I heard somebody hammering and sawing in a lot out back. A minute later, I was introducing myself to a gent by the name of Somber Jones, the town marshal. Well, after we shook hands, I asked him what he was building.
Why, that's a new scaffold.
Oh. You mean it's going to be a hanging?
Reckon so.
Lucius?
Yep. He'd been better off if he'd never been born.
Oh, yeah.
Why, I reckon the whole world would be better off if no humans was on it. Animals don't kill unless they're hungry, but us humans, we go around shooting folks. You take Lucius.
Well, you're just a town marshal, Summer Jones. You ain't no jury.
Never claimed to be.
You figure Lucius is guilty?
I ain't said so, Larrabee.
Then what you building this scaffold for?
Scaffold's gonna be permanent this time. Mulberry Creek is booming, and we'll be needing it regular.
I'm asking you again. Do you figure Lucius is guilty?
I'm marshal of this sinful town. Ain't my place to say.
Well, I reckon that's my answer. You don't think Lucius killed Fred Collins at all, do you?
Even so, you ain't gonna talk me into turning him loose.
Suppose a mob tries to bust into the jail.
Well, I got me a sawed-off shotgun to take care of that if anybody tries it.
And this trial is just going to be a formality, then.
Never said it wasn't.
Any 12 men in this town will vote him guilty without taking time to blow their suds off with a darn beer.
Sometimes sure is trying. This job of upholding the dignity of the law. Verity ought to marry Lucius and live happily ever after. Like they do in books.
Well, then... Why don't we see that she does?
Oh, no. That ain't in the cards. That ox-brain uncle of hers was again it. He got killed. Shows it wasn't meant to happen. Them getting married, I mean.
Yeah. What time is the trial?
After sundown. Boys won't leave the diggings till dark. They want to be in on the fun.
Fun? Hanging a man is fun?
Well, that's their idea, not mine.
And you're going to let them string up a man that might be innocent?
Maybe he ain't innocent.
You practically said he was.
Well, doggone it, I never have thought he put a bullet in Fred Collins.
Well, then who did?
Ken Sabe. Collins was the ornery old buzzard. Treated Verity pretty bad. Lots of folks would have been glad to shoot him.
Well, why'd the town so sure Lucius done it then?
He says he was studying them law books in his shack out at the edge of town. And Collins was shot.
But he can't prove it,
no,
huh?
No, he can't.
And folks around here don't exactly hanker for Lucius.
Well, he's kind of odd-like. Folks thought Verity married some handsome gent. Cowman.
Well, what's the matter with Lucius?
Nothing. Except he's got brains.
And brains ain't popular in Mulberry.
Ain't that so much, but he's a little rotten, skinny, like he'd bust in two in a high wind.
A lawyer ought to be able to get business in a town like Mulberry Creek.
Well, folks won't give him a chance.
No, they want to put a rope around his neck instead.
You're making me feel almighty uncomfortable. After all, I only carry out the law.
From the way it looks, a feller can get justice about anywhere but Mulberry Creek. I got a good notion...
Forget it. As town marshal, I can make any man in this town give up his gun.
Why, they ain't nobody. Nobody at all big enough to take my gun.
Well, now, don't look at me that way. I never said you was the one I was thinking about.
Well, you come pretty darn close.
I'm just giving you some advice, son. I like you. But I'll shoot the buttons off in your shirt if you try any shenanigans with me. Remember that.
Well, I reckon we understand each other, Somber Jones.
Reckon we do, Larrabee.
Well, I come over here to see Lucius. How about it?
I won't trust you inside the jail, Hawk. But there's his cell window yonder.
Oh. Well, then that'll have to do.
And don't try slipping him a hacksaw blade and a bar of soap.
Well, I might give him a blade, but why the soap?
Rubbing soap on a hacksaw blade deadens the sound.
How you know that?
I've sawed my way out a time or two. But it led to nothing but misery. And I'm seeing that it ain't gonna happen here. Not while I'm town marshal.
I seen I wasn't gonna get no place with Somber Jones. I walked over to jail, looked through the barred window, and seen Lucia sitting on the edge of a bunk, staring calmly up at me out of a pair of steel-rimmed spectacles.
Hello.
Howdy. I'm Hawk Larrabee.
I'm Lucius Budlong.
Yeah, I know.
You wanted to see me?
How in thunder can you just sit there so darn calm and collected?
If one allows oneself to become upset, well, one can't think clearly.
Yourself, myself, oneself. Don't go pulling that fancy talk on me, son. Can't you hear them hammers and them saws out there?
I've grown accustomed to the sound by now.
You know what it means?
Of course. They're building a gallows to hang me. I'll have to admit I'm upset, though I try not to show it.
You get upset, all right, when you're standing over the trap.
I doubt if that will happen. You see, I'm a lawyer.
Oh, you're going to need more than law to get you out of this mess, Lucy.
I'm innocent, Larrabee. I have faith in our courts.
Well, so have I, usually. But this is Mulberry Creek. The boys is pouring into town from all points of the compass. They're after gold, and they ain't particular about seeing that you get a square deal.
I'll tell the truth at the trial. You see, I was in my cabin at the edge of town when Fred Collins was murdered.
That's what I heard. But if you didn't kill him, then who did?
Well, it was someone who knew Fred Collins. Someone who knew him well enough to get him to open his door at night.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about Morgan Bright? He sure is bent on putting a rope around your neck.
Well, that's just a simple matter of jealousy.
Oh, he don't like it because Verity's in love with you.
Well, he asked her to marry him.
Mm-hmm. If Bright heard about the fight you and Fred Collins had over Verity, why, then he could shoot the old man and have a good excuse to frame you.
I do know that Bright wanted the store.
And the old man refused to sell it to him. Well, that gives Bryce a double-barrel reason for getting rid of it.
Lots of people would like the store. There's a lot of fine merch stock of merchandise. Now, if I can only just bring all this out of the
Lucius, trial... Lucius, you ain't got none too much time. They'll be trying you right after sundown. And if you ain't swinging a half hour later, then my name ain't Hawk Larry.
You're about as mournful as Somber Jones.
Oh, I hope I don't never get that mournful.
Just a mournful world, folks, Larrabee.
But, Somber Jones, what you doing sneaking up like that?
just thought I better come over and see if you'd pulled out any window bars or chewed a hole in the wall.
Well, I ain't, but I sure do feel like it.
It's sure funny how a pretty guy like Verity can get a man so all-fired worked up that he'll defy law and order to help her out.
There ain't nobody defied no law and order.
Well, you...
Not yet. Lucius, keep your chin up.
Thanks, Hawk Larrabee.
In spite of Somber Jones, the world ain't such a bad place.
I'll see you at the trial.
Come on, Selma.
What you got under your hat? ID?
Maybe.
I know what you're thinking.
Do you?
You're wondering how Verity can fall in love with a fella like that there Lucius.
If she likes him, that's good enough for me.
Well, now, don't take off my poor old gray head. I don't hold with romancing myself.
Well, never mind romance. If we don't start to use the spurs, that kid's going to get strung up.
You say we, including me in your plans?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You was probably born with your back bowed at the world, but maybe you're honest.
Reasonable so, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I got me an idea.
Yeah.
Is there any chance of getting one of them slugs that killed Fred Collins?
Probably they was buried with him.
The doc might have one.
He might at that.
Wouldn't be no harm in seeing him.
Well, sure, if you'll ease up on the reins and tell me why you want that bullet.
Oh, just an idea. It's been buzzing around in my head.
Hawk, you sound like you've been chewing loco weed.
I know what I'm doing. This has got to work. Now, how about it?
Well, I'll do my part, as long as it's legal. I'm still wearing a badge, you know.
Yeah, and some...
Yeah?
Spread it around town that you looking for the slug that killed the old man.
Yeah.
Act kind of mysterious about it.
Oh, I'm taking a chance trusting you, you know.
I got me a hunch Verity and Lucius is going to get married. On schedule, if I'm lucky.
You almost make me feel chipped.
Well, you'll get over that before the night's through.
I hope so. Sure, again, my principles. Hasta la vista, Hawk Larrabee.
It got dark early in Mulberry Creek, and when the sun went down, I was just going into Morgan Bryce's tent where he had his store at. A big kerosene lamp hanging from a ridgepole had just been lit. And I was looking around when a clerk come up to me and says,
Howdy, stranger. We got picks, shovels, grub, anything you need for mining.
What brand of shovels you got?
Acme, the best.
Oh, I don't know. I like a Regent. Maybe better.
Well, we ain't got Regent.
Hmm. I heard they carry them at the Collins Mercantile.
You don't want to trade there, stranger.
Well, why don't I?
Well, prices are high.
How come they ain't high here?
Mr. Bryce is aiming to give folks a good start.
Good start, huh?
Yeah, he believes you'll be buying from him a long time.
And then he'll raise prices?
Well, sure, naturally.
Yeah, as soon as he runs Verity Collins out of business and ain't no more competition.
What gives you that idea?
Just something that I heard. I'm a stranger here myself.
And you better watch what you go saying about Morgan Bryce. He's kingpin around here.
Oh, well, I sure don't aim to slander no kingpin.
Now, what about selling you a shovel?
Tomorrow, maybe. I want to get on over and see him string up that Lucius fella.
I'll be there too, stranger.
I guess there ain't much chance of finding him not guilty, is it?
Nope.
I heard the town marshal was snooping around looking for a bullet or something.
Yep, that's what they tell me. Won't do him no good, though.
Well, he must figure that there bullet's mighty important. Maybe he can find out who done the killing.
Somber Jones had better save his time. We're taking care of that Lucius with or without a trial. He killed Fred Collins and everybody knows it.
Yeah. Well, I got to be moving along.
Don't forget that shovel tomorrow.
It began to look like my little scheme had blowed up right in my face. There wasn't going to be time enough to work out all the details because Lucius was due for a hanging any way you looked at it. Well, I was just heading for the door when I seen Morgan Bryce blocking my way and looking as mad as a bronco wearing his first saddle.
Hold it, Larrabee.
What you want, Bryce?
I heard you've been stirring up Somber Joe.
What give you that idea?
Adding two and two.
What kind of an answer did you get?
It adds up to you getting out of town. Pronto.
If I don't figure I want to go?
Then you might stay here, permanently, in a pine box.
Yeah.
That's mighty big talk from a gent who just got his wrist slapped a while ago for pulling a gun.
You were lucky that time, Larrabee. Gun sight caught in my holster when I drew. Otherwise, you'd be dead.
Well, I ain't dead. I'm pretty much alive.
I'm just telling you once. Drift. Hit the trail.
Bryce, that hombre was making talk about you.
What'd he say, Joe?
He said you was trying to run Verity Collins out of business.
Fellas, let's give this Hawk Larrabee something else to think about.
What do you mean, Bryce?
Boys, let's show Larrabee he can't butt in here at Mulberry Creek. Some of you heat up a barrel of tar and get some chicken feathers. After we take care of the hanging and see it's done proper, we'll start on Larrabee.
I ain't going to wear no tar and feathers for overcoat, Bryce. Not now.
No, now, look out, Bryce. He's got a gun. The light. He shot out the light.
Which way did he go?
That way.
Blasted dark. I can't see a thing. Somebody get in.
I got under that tent wall like I was riding the tail of a Texas norther. Before anybody could get a lantern lit, I was heading down the alley where I had my white horse, Blanco, tied to a fence. I piled in the saddle and lit out for the jailhouse. In a minute, I could see Somber Jones standing there in front.
What's the shooting about?
Never mind that, Somber.
Hey, what you doing with that gun?
Inside the jail, quick.
All right. What you aiming to do,
Hawk? I'm going to take Lucius out of here.
I done my part, and this is how you pay me off. Doc Ramsey did have two bullets. Here, look at them.
Yeah, just what I figured.
Figured what?
Never mind. Get that cell open.
Keep your britches on. Keep your britches on.
How come you ain't putting up a fuss, Summer? Ain't I defying the law?
Nope. I done resigned.
Resigned?
Yeah. I couldn't let a prisoner escape if I was wearing a badge, could I?
Well, no.
No. So, I'm what you call a private citizen now. There's my resignation, all made out and stuck in a pigeonhole of that desk there.
What? Well, I reckon I was wrong about you.
Come on out, Lucius. You're free.
Free? I'm free? Why, Hawk Larrabee, what does this mean?
It means you getting out of town, son. Pronto.
What about Verity?
She can join you later. Who's that out there, Somber?
It's Verity.
Hawk. Hawk, Morgan Bryce has stirred up a lynching mob. They're coming here and they're... Oh, Lucius.
Verity.
They can't take you, Lucius.
I can see him through the window, Hawk. Too late to run for it.
Hawk, give me a gun. This is my fight.
Don't go being a hero now, Lucius. Stay here with Verity. You too, Summer.
Looks like you've sort of taken over, Hawk.
Yeah, it does, don't it? Now give me that sawed-off shotgun you was bragging about this afternoon.
There you are.
Cover me from the window, Summer.
I'll be right with him, Hawk.
Good. Well, here goes.
Hawk Larrabee!
That's right, Bryce. That's far enough, boy.
What's the meaning of this?
I got a sawed-off shotgun. And buckshot ain't particular who and where it hits. If any of you boys feel lucky, why, just start to come.
Come on, let's get ready, boy.
Who's first? Here. Take a look at these two slugs I'm tossing over, boy. It's light enough from the jail window.
Well, what about them?
Are they from a 45?
It looks like a 41 to me. Where'd you get them at?
Them is the slugs that come out of Fred Collins' body. Doc Ramsey had them.
What are you trying to prove, Larrabee?
That you killed Fred Collins, Bryce. You better be careful, Bryce. You're wearing a strange gun tonight. Might slow down your draw.
A man's got a right to own more than one gun, Larrabee.
I reckon so. But you was mighty careful to take off that 41 you was wearing this afternoon when me and you tangled at the Collins store.
No law against shedding the gun?
Maybe you was worried that Somber Jones would find out that Collins was shot with a 41.
I'm not the only man with a 41.
But you may be the only one in town with a 41 who had reason for shooting Collins.
What? That still don't prove nothing.
All right, then. Look at this. Listen to me. I dug up a couple of witnesses.
Witnesses?
Yeah.
What?
Two men.
Who are they?
Yeah. Boys, you want to hear what they said?
Right.
Sure.
Don't listen to him. It's a trick.
Trick or not, I want to hear what he's got to say.
That's all right. All right, Bryce. These two witnesses say that when Fred Collins come to the door the night he was killed, just before he was shot, he called out your name.
He did not.
If you wasn't there, how do you know he didn't call out your name?
What about that, Bryce?
Don't believe him, boys.
Hold it, Bryce. Hold it or I'll let you have both barrels.
Don't shoot, little man.
Get him, boys.
Okay.
We got him, Larrabee, and we're gonna keep him.
It's funny how you can bluff a fella sometimes. That's the trouble with killing a man. You can't never be sure somebody didn't see you do it. Well, later, Somber Jones turned to Lucius and said...
I figure now you get all the law and you can take care of here in Mulberry Creek.
And I'm going to let Joe run the store for me. Uncle Fred would have liked that.
Oh, sure. You got to be a lawyer's wife, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I hope that folks here in town will like me.
Why, of course they will. And Lucius... If you ever get the feeling you're kind of runted-like, well, just remember this. With a .45 in your hands, you're 6 foot tall, and you're broad enough to fit in the devil's own eye.
Is that right? Huh?
Here, take this gun. Mm-hmm. You see what I mean?
You know, Hawk, I feel taller already.
And someday, Lucius, if me and Hawk ever get into trouble, which I expect we will... I'd sure get you to lawyer for us in court.
It was about midnight when I rode out of Mulberry Creek, but it wasn't by myself. Somber Jones was riding at my side.
Where are we heading, Hawk?
Over San Marcos way.
What's over there?
I just found out that there's a sheep and cattle war brewing.
Mind if I ride along? Though we probably both get shot up or lynched.
Yeah. I'll take a chance.
Hawk, take a look back yonder. You see, you can see the scaffold out behind the jail, looking kind of ghostly in the moonlight.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure glad things turned out like they did with Bryce, I mean.
Well, how's that?
Sure been a blight on my record as Marshal of Mulberry Creek if I had the dang thing built, and then it wasn't used.
Get up.
He gained more renown as he rode the trail from town to town. Comatai-i-ippy-ippy-i-ippy-i. He woke one morning on the western trail, a rope in his hand and a cow by the tail. Comatai-i-ippy-ippy-i-ippy-i.
And now Hawk will tell you about next week's story.
Well, looked like I'd picked up a new sidekick. Somber Jones was as mournful a character as I ever saw. And it wasn't long before I figured he had reason to be. Trouble and Somber Jones seemed to go together, just like pork and beans. Well, anyhow, we sure did walk into a pack of trouble when we got down San Marcos way. While we were... But I'll tell you all about that next week when I come riding your way. Adios.
Until next week, that's the end of the tale of Hawk Larrabee on the western trail. Comatai-i-ippy-ippy-i-ippy-i. He's up in the morning before daylight. Before he sleeps, the moon shines bright. Comatai-i-ippy-ippy-i-ippy-i.
This is Jack McCoy saying tune in again next week at this very same time when Hawk Larrabee finds himself in the middle of an historic range war. Hawk Larrabee, starring Barton Yarborough, is written by Dean Owen, produced by William N. Robeson, and directed by Richard Sandel. For CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Hawk Larrabee, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 17th of May, 1947, on CBS. You're listening to an hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Lefonier. Barring a few exceptions during radio's golden age, it seems that CBS really had the top-tier Western programs on the air, not the least of which is what's considered to be the first adult radio Western, and that's Gunsmoke. This next broadcast of the series from August 12, 1956, was later used on the CBS television program of the same name in December of 1958. The story is Snakebite.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
We kindly cooled up after all that hot weather, didn't it, Mr. Dillon?
Uh-huh.
It sure turned out to be a pretty nice day.
Yeah. Kind of makes a man lazy, though, doesn't it?
Hey, look at there at that little old dog out in the street there. Huh? He sure is playful, ain't he?
Oh, yeah. If he had any sense, he'd go lie down in the shade somewhere.
Well, he's just a pup.
Uh-huh.
Uh-oh. Now, he better leave them horses be. He's going to get kicked.
Well, he's got to learn sometime.
Go on. Go on, scat. Go on, get away from here, you mutt.
He's going to make that fellow mad.
Go on. Oh, I'll fix you.
Hey. Why, he shot him. Well, what a mean, miserable thing to do. That little old pup wasn't hurting nothing.
No, he sure wasn't.
Marshal.
Yeah. Well, what do you want?
Get on off those horses.
What?
Do it! Right now.
All right. Now, what's your trouble, Marshal?
I'll take your gun, mister.
No, you won't.
I'm not even going to argue with you. Then I'll make a move. Here, Chester, hold it.
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll take yours, too.
Sure, Marshal. I ain't gonna try nothing.
Hold up now. What's this all about, anyway?
What's your name, mister?
Walt Gorman.
Mm-hmm. And what's yours?
Hakes. Jod Hakes.
All right. I don't allow shooting and dodge.
Well... Ain't no reason to take our guns.
I ought to bend them across your heads. Come on, Chester.
Hey, wait a minute. When do we get them guns back?
Tomorrow noon, when you leave town.
But we ain't figuring on leaving.
Oh, never mind him, Hicks. He can't run us out.
By golly, you are too, Mr. Dillon.
I will, Chester.
Look at that poor little dog. I wonder whose it is.
I don't know. Probably belongs to some kid around here.
I'll carry it around back to jail. Maybe the kid'll want to bury it himself.
Yeah, why don't you do that?
That Gorman sure is a mean one.
Well, I can get mean too, Chester. And I got a feeling I may have to before I'm through with him.
Thank you.
Hey, Mr. Dillon, guess what?
No, what, Chester?
You know who that little raggedy dog belonged to? It wasn't no kid at all. It was an old fellow called Pony Thompson.
Pony Thompson?
Yes, sir. He come in here a while ago. He heard we had him. He's out back now burying him.
I never heard of Pony Thompson.
Neither had I. He's a real nice old fellow, though. Oh, kindly funny looking. He looks at you from under them scraggly eyebrows like an old gray wolf. That's him. You'll see.
Hello, Mr. Thompson.
No, I ain't no Mr. Pony's good enough.
This is Marshal Dillon.
How do, Marshal?
I'm sorry about your dog.
Well, I shouldn't have brung him. Town's bad enough for humans.
Where are you from, Pony? I haven't seen you in Dodge before.
I don't seek out no town but once a year. I move around on the prairie, Marshal. Sometimes I go into the mountains. I just can't stand four walls and a roof. It's like being in jail.
What are you doing here now?
Once a year, I get drunk.
What?
That's why I come to town to do it. I figure if I got to get drunk, I got to be cooped up in some saloon. But, you know, just walking down your street there, I feel kind of hog-tied.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Marshal.
Yep, honey.
Who shot my dog?
A couple of men who just rode into town.
I'll have to know their names.
Now, you want them to pay you for the dog, Pony?
No, tain't money I'm after.
I didn't think so.
You know, I got a heavy old rifle down at the stable with my gatherings. I figured to go kind of beat them half to death with it.
Now, that wouldn't help you, Pony.
You ain't gonna tell me their names?
No, Pony, I'm not.
Well.
Where are you going?
I can't get drunk listening to start drinking, can I?
No.
But I'll find out who shot my dog. Don't you worry.
Your friend Pony Thompson's doing pretty well at the bar over there, Matt. That's his second bottle he's working on.
He sure keeps to himself, doesn't he?
A man who drinks alone is usually peaceful anyway.
Yeah.
Now, hurry it up, bartender. We ain't got all night.
Now, who's that there? Just came in.
Oh.
Well, you know him, Matt?
Yeah. One of them's the man who shot Pony's dog I was telling you about.
Hmm. Well, he looks like the kind...
Kitty?
I don't know what Sam wants.
Hey, Kitty!
I better go see you. I'll be right back.
Yeah, sure, Kitty.
Hey, look at this one, Hicks. She's pretty.
Yeah. Hey, girlie, buy you a drink.
No, thanks. Well, what do you want, Sam?
Never mind about him. Come on, have a drink.
I said no.
I said yes. Come on, girlie, loosen up now.
Tell me something, mister. You have to be awful brave to shoot puppy dogs.
What?
Must take a real man to do that, huh?
I just ought to slap your face in for you.
I wouldn't try that, Gunner.
It's a marshal.
Now what?
You get out of here. And you take Hicks with you.
You sure like having your own way in this here town, don't you?
I sure do. Now, you get moving.
Come on, Gorman. We don't want no trouble.
Shut up. All right. I sure am getting a belly full of that.
What a hero.
Yeah. But you know, Kitty, I wish you hadn't mentioned the dog.
Oh. Oh, I'm sorry, Matt. I forgot.
Evening, Marshal.
Hello, Pony.
So, that fuller's name was Gorman, huh? Got a mean face, too, ain't he?
Now, look here, Pony.
Oh,
don't
you worry. I ain't gonna follow him, Marshal. No siree, Bob. I got me this here bottle to finish. Yeah, I'm gonna get drunk tonight, remember?
Well, I guess it doesn't matter after all, Matt, huh?
Well, I hope not, Kitty. But I'm not so sure.
fried meat, fried potatoes, hominy grits and sorghum, and a cup of lye. Matt, there was a mighty poor breakfast, if I do say so.
Well, then I'm glad I didn't treat you to it, Doc.
Oh, look who's in it. If you ever treated me to breakfast, I'd be so dumbfounded I couldn't complain.
Mr. Dillon!
Huh? Why, it's Chester. At the stable door there.
You too, Doc. Hurry up!
Me? What's he got, a sick horse in there?
Yeah, he's got something, Doc. He looks pretty worried.
Oh, Chester's always worried. If it isn't money, it's women.
Ma Strimick went to the office looking for you.
Now, what's the trouble, Chester?
There's been a killing.
What?
That fellow Walt Gorman, he got his throat cut in here. Ma found him laying in one of the stalls. Pony Thompson done it.
How do you know?
Well, he was right in there with him. He still is. We tied him up with a rope. Of course, he was passed out drunk when Moss found him, but he come too fast enough when we sluiced some water on him.
How could he kill a man when he was passed out?
I don't know, Doc, but he was all spattered with blood, and the knife was laying there right there by his hand. There he is.
Oh, Marshal. Marshal, make him turn me loose.
That's Gorman under the saddle blanket back there.
All right, I'll take a look, but I don't know how much good he'll
do. Oh, please get me loose, Marshal. Please, I just can't stand this.
All right on time, Chester.
All right, sir.
I didn't kill nobody.
The knife's in that board right next to you, Mr. Dillon.
Oh. Pony, is this your knife?
Yeah, sure, it's mine. But I didn't use it on nobody.
It was laying right by his hand.
Well, then somebody put it there.
Gorman's dead, all right, Matt. 4 or 5 hours. He took a knife in his back and then had his throat cut.
There.
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't do a thing like that, Marshal.
I wouldn't have thought so, Pony.
It's true. Oh, sure, I found him later after you left the Long Branch, but, well, I only swore at him a little for shooting my poor pup.
I'm going to have to lock you up, Pony.
Oh, no, please, Marshal, don't do that. Please, don't.
I got no choice.
I tell you, I'd just go crazy if you put me in jail. I told you how I am.
Chester, take him down. Huh?
Come on, Pony, let's get going.
Oh, please don't, not jail,
you
please.
You should have thought about that before you killed Gorman. Now, come on.
I'd rather get shot. I'd rather die.
You ain't going to die. Now walk along.
Hello, Marshal. I've been waiting for you.
Hello, Hicks.
I seen Chester a while ago taking Pony Thompson into the jail here.
Did he tell you what happened?
He sure did. I didn't want to see Gorman. Not after what that old man did to him.
Come on into the office, Hicks. Chester? What's the matter? What's the matter? You sick or something?
He hit me.
What? Oh. Where's Pony Thompson?
That's what I'm telling you. He hit me with that stool in there.
You mean he got away?
I turned my back to go out of that cell. That's all I remember.
And he's been gone about 20 minutes.
Well, let's find him. Standing around here is doing no good.
We'll find him, Hicks.
Oh, but I know where he went.
You do? Where?
Well, in the stable there, he was mumbling about a hideout he knows down by the Arkansas somewhere.
You feel up to riding, Chester?
You bet I do.
And I'm coming, too. I'll shoot that old devil on sight.
It's a good thing I took your gun, Hicks. But you're coming with us, all right, just to make sure you don't find another one.
Breaking day, Mr. Dillon. We can get moving again directly.
He could be 30 miles from here by now.
Well, you can't track a man in the dark, Hakes. We done the best we could. Blackest night I ever seen.
Marshal, I want you to give me a gun today.
You're awful anxious to shoot him down, aren't you, Hicks?
It's to keep him from shooting me. He's probably armed by now.
Oh, sure he is. There's lots of guns laying along the banks of the Arkansas. I'm cold. I'm going to walk around a little and stretch my legs.
Don't you get lost, sonny.
Oh, why don't you try keeping quiet? Your voice itches my ears.
Hicks, tell me something. How long were you and Gorman partners?
About a year. Why?
Yeah, I just wondered.
You going to let me have a gun today?
I wouldn't trust you with a buggy.
Now, you got no cause to say that.
I want Pony Thompson alive. He'd be no good to me dead.
What do you mean?
Well, I didn't get a chance to talk to him, for one thing.
Hey, Mr. Dillon!
Yeah, what?
There's a little old cave right up here.
Go crawl in it. Maybe it'll fall on you. He sure bothers me.
Well, you kind of bother him.
I ain't done nothing to him.
Mr. Dillon, come here, quick!
What? Yeah, what is it, Chester?
There's a man in this cave. It's old Pony Thompson.
Well, drag him out.
I did. He's dead, Mr. Dillon.
Huh? He's dead?
Yes, sir.
Make a torch out of some of those dry weeds, Chester. I can't see much here.
Yes, sir.
What is it, Marshal? Somebody kill him?
I don't know, Hicks. Just stay out of the way.
Doggone it. You treat me like I was dirt. I've had enough of that.
Come on, Chester. Hurry up.
Yes, sir. I got it. Here, let me get lit.
I don't feel blood anywhere.
Here. Ain't gonna burn long, though.
Hold it near his head.
I don't see nothing.
No, wait a minute. Hold it closer.
Huh?
Down here.
There ain't a mark on him.
Yes, there is.
Hmm?
See those two little punctures on his neck there?
Yes, sir.
All right, Chester. Well, I guess Pony meant what he said about not liking jail.
What do you mean?
We've been sitting right down there in front of his cave for about 8 hours now. He could have hollered for help, but he didn't.
Help for what?
There was a rattlesnake in that cave.
That's what them marks on his neck was. He got bit.
Rather than face jail, he stayed in there and died.
I don't get to feeling so sorry for him. He stuck Gorman in the back and cut his throat, didn't he?
Yeah, Hicks. That's exactly what happened to Gorman.
What are you looking at me like that for?
Chester.
Yes, sir?
Did you tell Hicks that Gorman got knifed in the back?
No, sir. All I said was he got his throat cut.
And poor old Pony Thompson died for nothing. I don't know why you killed your partner, and I don't much care, but we'll find out after we get Pony buried proper.
Now, look here, Marshal.
And you'll dig the grave, Hicks. And you'll dig it deep. The old man deserves that much from you.
In a moment, our star, William Conrad. In a recent study, a noted traffic expert estimates that inadequate highways and resultant traffic jams cost the American economy billions of dollars every year and suggests that the cost of modernizing our roads would quickly be regained in time saved. Discussing motor accidents, this same expert suggests that legislation may be needed to curb the speed of our powerful automobiles before they ever leave the factories. This is a controversial question on which the experts disagree. But all traffic experts agree on one thing. Common sense cannot be legislated into the automobile driver. He has to learn it by himself. Anger, bravado, and the spirit of competition often are expressed on the highway by excessive speeding, disregard of traffic signs and signals, and other risky maneuvers. Psychologists sum it up by saying that careless drivers are emotionally immature. Put more bluntly, it means that careless driving is kid stuff. This has been a CBS Radio public service announcement.
You know, when a High Plains woman was looking for a husband, cowhands used to laugh and say, she's throwing a wide loop. Well, next week, a woman catches her man right enough, but with a 50 caliber rifle. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Joseph Kearns, Vic Perrin, and Lawrence Dobkin. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from the 12th of August, 1956 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great shows from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levonier. Thanks for tuning in.